According to a 2023 study, foreign labor has played a massive role in boosting Denmark's GDP since 2008, with just under 40% of the increase attributed to international workers.
Since 2008, Denmark's workforce has grown by 265,000, and 200,000 of those workers are international. That means that one in every 8 wage earners in Denmark is a foreigner.
My name is Derek Hartman, and I've been one of those foreigners in Denmark since 2017.
And I'm Annie Samples, fellow international in Denmark since 2019. And you're listening to What Are You Doing in Denmark, the podcast that helps you make Denmark make sense.
Today, we are thrilled to be joined by Leslie Peterson, the founder and CEO of English Job Denmark. We're going to talk about international workers, the low-key heroes of Denmark's economy, and how she helps so many of us find our way into the Danish workforce.
So stay right here, because this episode will give you strategies to find a job in Denmark, advance your career here, navigate Danish work culture, and so much more. Welcome, Leslie. We're so glad you're here.
I'm so glad to be here. Thanks.
So we are just going to warn you, we had a ton of really amazing questions from our audience, and it looks like a lot of people are in need of your expertise.
This is definitely the topic that I'm asked about the most. When I open my platform up for Q&A, people are like, how do I get a job there? What do I need to do this A, B, C, D, you know? So I don't know the answer to that. I don't mean to ghost you guys' questions. I just don't know. So we have Leslie here who knows.
Great.
To start, before we dive into all of these bubbling questions that we have, maybe you can tell us a little bit about how you ended up here and sort of what are you doing in Denmark?
Well, I'm from England originally, and I'm a love pat. So I came here to marry my Danish husband, and I arrived 16 and a half years ago. So thinking it would be easy to find a job, I arrived in 2007, and then in 2008, there was a recession.
Yeah.
And I think because I was in communications, English was my native language, everyone was just saying how easy it would be for me. And it took me, I would say, until 2011 to get a job.
Wow.
My husband had been the same job for like 20 years, so he had no clue. And it was long before Facebook and International House, and knowing how and where to go was impossible, really. Mm. So I really struggled in the early years. And then I got a job teaching English, and that's when I started back into the workforce again.
Wow. And had you taught English previously or?
No, I had to learn how to teach my own language because, of course, you just know.
Yeah.
So why would we do
just
that?
Say it.
Because it just is.
You know? Yeah. It was a while ago.
Yeah. You know, I was probably, you know, about 7 or something when I learned grammar. So it was a while, and I had to really learn how to teach my own language. But actually gave me my confidence back. I'd lost a lot of confidence by being at home and not knowing what to do next. And then I started teaching Danes. And that's how I found out and was able to ask Danes lots of questions and say, why do you do this? Why do you not invite us home for dinner? Because we're internationals. You know, and little funny little idiosyncrasies that, you know, I just didn't expect. Mm. We're only 2 hours over the water, similar sense of humour, you know. Mm. And I knew my husband and his family, so I thought I knew Danes and Denmark, but it's very different when you start looking for a job.
Really is quite nuanced and just so I, even coming from the US, I was like, how different could it be, you know?
Yeah. You realize sometimes that learning the language, sure, that helps you, but learning the culture is a completely, it's like a new language.
Yes.
Yeah, there's all those cultural nuances that you have to learn as well.
Yeah, it's not like a Danes can say, oh, this is how we are. They just are. It's like if you say, well, how do you describe a Brit? I would be thinking, sense of humor, black humor, you know, we like weird food, tea. Fish and chips, you know, we love tea. So how would you explain it to an international? So that was a bit of a tricky one as well.
Yeah, it's hard to know what is different, and it's hard to know what about your own culture is making you stand out to other people.
Yeah.
And on both sides.
So yeah, exactly.
And then especially in the workforce and the job navigation part.
Yeah.
In those 3 years when you were going through that job search, were some of those cultural things part of the...
It was. And I got pregnant straight away after getting married. So through my sister-in-law, through my network, I got a full-time job just for sort of 13, 14 weeks before I had a baby.
Wow.
So I was working in a very Danish organization. It was in Danish. Oh. And I'd had like one module of Danish class.
Wow.
So, you know, I was... you know, the Danish was not great, but they were very kind to me. I think probably because I was pregnant as well. Yeah. But there was one British guy. So if we sat at lunch, he would sort of translate or he would just chat to me in English. And they would just help me with my Danish, which was really, really sweet. So I had a little bit of a taster of what it was like working in Denmark. But it wasn't a job I really wanted to do. Mm. It was just, I was just helping somebody. Yeah. But it gave me an insight into what it was like. And they just said, look, you know, after you've had a baby, give us a call. I'm sure we can find something for you. But then there was a big takeover. So that wasn't an option. So that's when I sort of had a bit of a gap before I started teaching English. Yeah.
Wow, that's so interesting. Mm. So you founded English Job Denmark.
I didn't found that until 2019.
Wow.
Oh. So having got a bit more confidence back, really, in the job search, I got 1.5 days with the World Health Organization. And that, again, was through networking. I'm going to talk a lot about networking if you're a job seeker listening in here. I thought, if I can just start with 1.5 days, maybe that'll give me an opportunity. And it came through an email as part of the group I was in. I was just doing their admin, their emails, just so I could see those jobs coming through on the on the email. And I thought, I can apply for that quickly first, and then I'll share it with everyone else.
So
I started with 1.5 days, and then I built it up. And then I just basically stopped teaching English and started going back into my field, which was communications. Wow. So I then worked for lots of different departments in the World Health Organization, and I loved it. Yeah, and then from there, I thought I'd like something a bit more settled.
Yeah.
Something where it was a little bit more full-time, and it wasn't constantly looking for new projects, because I was a consultant, and then I worked for a shipping company.
Yeah.
And a couple of years there, suddenly I was unemployed.
Oh.
And it was a shock. And I thought, gosh, what do I want to do next?
Yeah.
And then actually I met my former business partner on Facebook.
Fabulous. Wow.
She helped me with my CV cover letter. She was like, she'd worked in recruitment. And we just got on so well that we decided to start the business together. And that was in 2019. Oh. So
what initially prompted you to start English Job?
Well, when we first started, we were covering everything, sort of relocation, you know, picking you up at the airport, finding, finding everything that would help you settle here and thrive. Wow. But actually the big thing that was just working for us was helping people into jobs.
Yeah.
So it was that section that really took off with the business. So that's what we focused on. I mean, there's enough people out there doing a really good job with relocation.
Yeah.
So we thought, let's concentrate on something we know we can do well. So she was a recruiter, I was in communications. How can we help them improve visibility in the marketplace, communicate well on their CV, cover letter, that type of thing? And that's basically where it started from there.
Wow, that's epic.
Yeah.
So with that, are you open to all English speakers, or just is it more people from the UK?
No, it's anyone.
Oh, anyone. Fabulous.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a lot of American clients at the moment.
Oh, great. I'm sure you do.
Yeah. Who are wanting to come here, but obviously a lot of Brits after Brexit. But I also help Danes coming back, repats.
Okay.
Because they've been away for quite a while, they feel like they don't know how things work anymore. Mm-hmm. Or they had their education here and then left for 20 years. Mm-hmm. So they want to know how to do it. So I actually have a lot of Danes coming back as well.
Sure.
So it's a real mix. It's a real mix from basically all over the world, I would say.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it's good. Because you're learning about different cultures and how understanding and explaining how things work here can be different with each person, wherever they're from, if that makes sense. Yeah.
That's such a skill. Yeah.
Are there any general themes that sort of stick out? You know, again, whether somebody's coming from the UK, the US, or from another country, or a Dane that's repatriating, that maybe is a common problem that they're all running into as they maybe are for the first time looking for a job in Denmark?
I think when you come here, you think you can do what you would do at home to apply for a job.
Yeah.
So how you write your CV.
Relatable in every
everywhere. Yeah. It's like, especially if you come from maybe South America, you've never written a cover letter.
Sure.
So you don't know how to do that. And then you don't have a natural network.
No.
So you have to start building it, whereas Danes have that from growing up here, efter skola or university or, you know, mum's club. Or you've got all of those options to network before you even start work. But we have to build that from scratch when we arrive. So I would say those are the main things that people struggle with, is having to adapt and do it in a more Danish way. Danishify your CV so you understand the work culture here.
Yeah, I know some culture shocks that I experienced when I was first looking for jobs here was the CV, you know, that's a big starting point. But even just realizing, oh, I have to put my photo on this. Because in the U.S., you would not put anything identifying, any identifying features that would disclose your age, your even your gender, nation of origin, ethnicity on to then let alone put a cover photo on your CV was very different for me.
Like, how do I look?
Right. How am I presenting myself? And sure, LinkedIn is, you know, LinkedIn is something that is now part of the process, but I don't think it's as heavily leaned on as it is in Denmark. Maybe, I don't know, Leslie, do you think that's because of the networking focus or?
Yeah, I mean, half all jobs are filled through LinkedIn here.
Okay. Wow.
So it's not just applying on LinkedIn, but it's using that network. So they reckon around 32% of jobs are posted. The rest are filled through networking and unsolicited. So there's a you really have to build on your network when you arrive, if not before you arrive. And that's about finding organizations that would be a good fit, finding people within them that would be a good connection, and really trying to build a network that allows you to have those sort of coffee meetings or conversations, or at least building your presence in Denmark. And we're not used to that. For most of us, where we're coming from, we don't really use LinkedIn.
Well, on that note, I have heard that jobs are required to be posted legally. I'm not sure if any of this is true. And that most of the time, by the time a job has been posted, it's already been filled because of networking. Do you find that to be true?
Yes, or filled internally. And sometimes it's a, you've got a bit of a hint. If they post it on a Friday and the deadline's Monday, there's a little bit of a hint there on that one. But for some of them, they do post it to find out who's out there.
Interesting.
You know, what sort of quality of job seeker is out there, maybe? Because maybe they're trying to fill that one role, but all were thinking ahead that maybe they'll have something coming up in 6 months. They want to see what, you know, who else is out there with the qualifications or skills that they're looking for. So it's hard to do, and it's and it can be really frustrating that you feel like you fit perfectly, but don't even get an interview. And you're thinking, well, what else do I have to do to get an interview with that organization where I fit everything they've listed on the job spec?
Yeah, if not more so. My husband went through a layoff, and thankfully he had that 6 month grace period with our visas. But then the finding a job process, I mean, we just barely made it by. He did secure a job, thankfully. There were so many jobs that he applied for that he was beyond qualified for. And it wasn't even like, oh, you're overqualified for this. It's just, you know, we went with somebody internally or that sort of thing. And that was really difficult for him to process, because in the U.S. there's people in his inbox all the time. Hey, come work for us, you know, like it's just a very different landscape in that way.
And I think a lot of people come from, like I did, and I was headhunted. I had people ringing me, said, oh, I've been given your name. Are you interested in this role? So you assume that's what's going to happen when you come to Denmark. And it was like tumbleweed.
Right.
Like, I couldn't get anything. And I was literally applying for anything, which I would always recommend my clients don't do. I can talk about that in a second. But I was just applying for anything in English, just so I can get a job, just to get my foot in the door, and maybe start at the bottom, work my way up again. I was open for that. But it doesn't work like that here either. They pay you based on your skills and experience. So, you know, you can't do a student job. They're looking for a student. Whereas I think at home, if you want to change career or start again, you can just go in at that level and build up your career again. And it doesn't work like that here. So it was really difficult to think, well, how do you do this? I did speak to maybe one HR, Danish HR, who was a friend of a friend. And she said, oh, I just think with all the different jobs that you've had, I'm not sure really what you want to do. So I think my CV was quite complicated. And then you're talking about having the photo on. I think a number of companies now are changing and radically, you know, getting a little bit in with the times, because we've been there years ago, right? But still, you really need to know how to explain what you can do and not sell yourself, which is what we would do when we're home.
And that's so tricky. So there's a lot of things about Danish culture that can make it an additional hurdle, whether it's the idea of Jantelavn and sort of not selling yourself too aggressively, but showing maybe what you did for the team rather than your personal achievements. And then also the importance of networking in a country where it's a bit difficult to network, because people don't necessarily like small talk or the networking events. It's maybe not in character to put yourself out there that much. So any advice for people that are struggling with that?
Yes, how what wording you use and how you approach people. Okay. So we talk about this flat hierarchy here. Danes always roll their eyes a little bit like that and say, well, that's not quite true. But for us on the outside, it really is. Like you sit in a meeting and everyone gets their say from, you know, the CEO downwards. And that's great. You actually get to say, you know, what you think about a project or whatever you're working on. And we're not used to that. And it's that type of approach when you're applying for a job. It's explaining what you can do. Like I would talk about, you know, as a team, we delivered a global rebrand and my role within that was, you know, so I talk about a global rebrand and trying, yay, this is what I did. But, and my role within that was, even though most of it was done by our team, but you still want to talk about, sell yourself in that way. So it's very understated. It's very Danish. It's very Jantelon, you know, don't think you're better than anyone else type of thing. But it's that approach you need when you're actually applying or communicating and sending a little message on LinkedIn saying, hi, I've done my, you know, I've been looking at your organization. I really believe I'd be a great fit. And here are my top three skills that I think would really help you build your organization. So really showing you've done your research. It's a little bit like a cover letter.
Interesting.
And then saying, would you have just 10 minutes just for me to talk about a role within your organization? I think Danes feel that that's not aggressive. That's not confrontational. And, you know, you maybe send 50 of those and maybe just get two. But it's worth trying within the organizations that you like.
Wow.
And thinking how can I even just get you to notice me or have a look at my LinkedIn profile? So if that's all you get out of it, they check your LinkedIn profile and think, ah, oh, great skills or great experience. Then you've got a little bit more opportunity to you know, get into interview, hopefully.
Yeah. Wow.
I've heard a lot about the like sort of unsolicited applications, the unsolicited contact that way. And again, that's something that I wouldn't particularly have ever thought of or done or put myself out there that way when I was looking for jobs in the US in my home country. So that's a good way to do it. And will that maybe, what would be maybe the next step? I know coffee meetings are sometimes what people are after to do that next step in person networking or meeting. Is that?
Yeah, I mean, advisable? I had a workshop yesterday. Unsolicited, actually. And I asked in the room, how many of you applied unsolicited? And maybe three or four out of like 25 people. And they're like, well, you know, I just, why would I bother? You don't get a response. And so I took them step by step on how to do it. And you have to do as much research as if you were applying for an actual job that you have a job spec for. So it's about finding out what organizations accept them, because not all do. And which ones do you think would be a good fit for you and why? And find out who's doing your job there now. What skills do they have? What experience do they have?
Yeah.
Are they Danish? Do you need Danish in that organization? And then you sort of start build up this sort of targeted list. So on those weeks where there's nothing to apply for, you can think, right, who's on my unsolicited list? Okay, let's apply for one of those this week. And it's putting together skills and experience that you've got that would really help them in what they're trying to achieve. So it's very similar to a job application, the amount of work you have to do, but it's telling them, I think I'm your new communications manager and here's what I can bring for you. Mm-hmm. So you tell them the job that you could do for them and why we'd be good fit for their organization. So, you know, if you're thinking only 32% of jobs are posted, you know, unsolicited is a great way to get your CV over to an organization for them to check it out.
Do you feel like it's worth it?
Oh, absolutely.
That's great. I feel like I could ask a million questions. Yeah. It's crazy. But, well, no, yeah. I want to segue into the listener questions because I just want to give the people what they want. Because most of the listener questions that we have are questions that I've had myself. So I think that we should proceed with them. Yeah. So the first one we have is, what advantages and disadvantages do internationals have when applying for Danish jobs?
The biggest one, obviously, is the language.
Yeah.
So depending on what sector you're in, some sectors are more heavily reliant on you speaking Danish. So again, that's going to limit where you can work, which I keep going on about targeted organizations, but it's really good to have a list. So, you know, with my clients, I do a values exercise first. You know, what's important for you? What type of organization would be a good fit? Down to the level of, you know, do you want to work remotely or be in the office 2 days a week, whatever it is. And then once you've got a list, then you know what's important to you, what you're looking for, how you can help them. And from there, I think it gives you a better idea of what's available to you. But I think that's one of the biggest ones. The second one is what we've already talked about, not understanding how Danish work culture is. So you aggressively ringing people and sending messages and, you know, sending people your CV on LinkedIn and that, and you don't get a response that way. So understanding the culture, which you don't have, and then putting your application in a Danish style. And really, really building up your LinkedIn. That's what I work on mainly with my clients is the LinkedIn. The CV is an easy job to sort out. But actually the LinkedIn is about how you promote yourself. No, having the right job title for people to find you. It's having really telling a recruiter what they're going to get.
Yeah.
If they hire you, basically, and how you say it. So I would say that's the biggest thing. It's about not understanding how things work here and trying to do, like we said already, about doing it the way you're used to. Yeah.
Well, on the same page of language, we know that there is a real deficit of care workers, you know, nurses, doctors, psychologists, pedagogues in, you know, Bernahau and all of that type of thing, which daycare teachers. What is the solution there? Because it sounds like we need international workers to fill these positions, but do they have to become fluent in Danish first? Or is there any opportunity for native English speakers to fill these roles?
I mean, I did read something the other week about wanting to bring in some more nursing staff from the Philippines, as an example. The thing is, I think what they're trying to do is they'll maybe put it through an intensive Danish course while maybe you are nursing.
Cool.
I assume that's how they're going to do it because you're going to have to be at a certain level. Of course, most Danes speak English.
Yeah, but maybe not some of the people who need care, like the elderly.
Or people who don't feel confident to speak back to you in Danish, in English. They want to speak Danish, so you've got to.
Especially when they're in a state of trauma, vulnerable in the hospital.
You want to speak your native language, don't you? Yeah. So I think that's a big issue they have here because actually there's so many already here thinking, what can I do now? I'm a nurse. I'm a doctor. Speaking to one guy yesterday, he's a dentist. But, you know, without Danish, you're going to really struggle. So I would really recommend signing yourself up to Danish class as soon as you can. Really do the intensive one and really trying to upskill and trying to listen to Danish programs. And, you know, I know people say it's difficult to find a Danish friend, but there are old people's homes here, nursing homes, where they really want people to go maybe spend an hour with them every week. And you can actually sign up to maybe take them to a cafe for an hour once a week where you can just practice Danish. And they're much, and they speak slower.
True.
And they enunciate, which, as we know, sometimes when we're looking at actors on TV, we need the subtitles just to understand the Danish. Right. Yeah. So there's opportunities for you to do that. Volunteer, work in a Red Cross shop or somewhere where, again, you get to practice your Danish and say, oh, can you work with me? Do I say it like this? Can you help me with my pronunciation? Because we all struggle with that one. So it's getting yourself out there and finding out different ways where you can practice. And then, meanwhile, trying to build your profile and thinking, what else can I do with the skills? And maybe do a little bit of a career change or a little slideways move, maybe into a pharma organization. What can you offer a pharmaceutical organization or something like that? So where could you use those transferable skills? And I've got quite a few clients that are maybe doing that little career change until they feel confident in Danish to actually do with the job that they want to do when they arrived.
Oh, that's so encouraging. That's really great to hear because that is a big question that I get from my audience. You know, I have this incredible experience. I have this much needed skill. But I don't know how much it would transfer, but it's good to know that putting in that work to learn the language, it could be really highly valued. And in the interim, there's use for the skills that you have and can work towards that goal. Yeah.
Yeah. We had a lot of questions. People looking for, or maybe they have a background in psychology, speech therapy, nursing, where it seems, at least online, that there is a need for mental health specialists, nursing, things like that. But that the certification needs to be accepted by Denmark, correct?
Yeah.
And then the language piece is going to be different because different nursing terms and different medical terms and I'm sure psychological and speech are all going to be different in Denmark than they would be in an English-speaking country.
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
Yeah, you do need to have it certified first before you can even, and it can sometimes take 6 months to a year, depending on which commune you're living in. Mm. But once you've got that certification, I think target maybe the international audience to start with.
Okay. Right.
So like a speech therapist or target international schools. Do they need any speech therapy there or internationals who generally need help? Because you don't know where to go when you come here either. So you don't know how to access maybe some things like speech therapists or help, or you just want some, you know, some advice. So it's a great opportunity for you as an international member to start your own company.
Mm. Honestly.
You know, and say, look, I'm targeting internationals only. I don't speak Danish. Mm. And then until you feel that you're confident enough to work in Danish, because it takes a while. It's not something that happens overnight. And then learning that technical phrases, you know, because Danes have different words for things. Sometimes we use the Latin. Mm. And I know when giving birth here, you know, they kept using different words. I was like, just give me the Latin. I might probably get that better, you know.
Oh, funny.
Because I have made up words for things, you know, which is like, you know, which, you know, and when you're giving birth, you do not want to have to, you know, try and understand anything. Hello. Mm-hmm. So, but I was, they spoke English to me in the end, but it was good. Yeah. But yeah, you just got to learn those technical phrases as well. So it's upskilling yourself ready for the challenge, really.
Yeah, yeah, that's so smart. Yeah, when I initially moved here, like many people do, I struggled, but I found a therapy practice that specialized in expat issues and, you know, foreigner issues. And that was really valuable. And of course, we spoke English there and I paid a lot of money for it. So there's money in that.
Okay, well, let's take a pause here and we'll be back in your feed next week with more conversation and advice and tips and questions that we'll be getting the expertise from Leslie to answer.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I really enjoyed it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much. Hi.